This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast, powered by the CLNS Media Podcast Network. I am Evan Lazar, joined as always by Adam Kirchin, and today, Adam, we're going to do some free agency recap stuff, the initial wave of free agency, but the meat of the show will be our edge class preview for the NFL draft, and Adam and I both just kind of want to give you guys an escape from everything that's going on in the world and in the country right now and just talk some football, so hopefully this will be a little bit more uplifting than some of the things that are going on in everybody's lives. But Adam, everybody's healthy on your end, everybody's healthy on my end, but let's talk some football.
Yeah, let's do it. Get right into it.
All right. Sounds good. Before we do, though, I need to shout out our friends at betonline.ag. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive sportbook partner, betonline.ag, still has hundreds of sports events and games to wager on, or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. If you're into props and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prizes, and even the weather. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive 100% welcome bonus. With your first deposit, be sure to use promo code CLNS50. Bet online, your online wagering experts. All right, now that that is out of the way, Adam, we wanted to talk about some of these free agent signings for the Patriots. Obviously, the Patriots lost a lot more than they gained this year in free agency, but there was still a few names that they grabbed. And I want to start with Adrian Phillips, safety, linebacker, hybrid type player on the back end of the defense. A lot of talk about Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, Landon Roberts, and the depth that the Patriots have at linebacker now that those guys are out the door. In a lot of ways, Adrian Phillips is kind of a pseudo linebacker in today's NFL and might be able to fill some of those roles.
Yeah, and I think he's been successful. He was a Pro Bowler or All Pro at his last stop. So he's a good player. I think this is interesting because I think the Patriots tend to try to draft safeties. It seems like a good pickup. This is a guy that can do a lot of different things. And I think I'm glad that they're getting this guy from free agency rather than trying to draft him, because I feel like sometimes if you draft a guy and you want him to do all these different things, he gets a little bit overwhelmed with the sheer number of tasks they throw his way. This seems like somebody who can do a bunch of things for the defense, and he won't get overwhelmed. I think it's a pretty solid pickup.
Agreed. It's a four-down player, too, because he made the All-Pro team a few years ago as a special teamer in the kicking game. So he's a really good special teams player. As we know, the Patriots love that sort of thing. But it's his contributions on defense that have me excited. This is a guy that can play in the slot. He can play a little bit of linebacker. He can play safety in certain respects, like intermediate zones. You're not going to put him in the back end of the field and play center field with him, but you're going to do a little bit of different types of zone defense with him and have him play robber or have him play a hooked zone or things of that nature. But watching his tape, it was really exciting to see how he covered tight ends one-on-one, which with Patrick Chung last year maybe taking a little bit of a step back, the Patriots have been searching a little bit for a guy that can really stop tight ends or a second option to really stop tight ends. I think Adrian Phillips is a guy that could do that. Like I said off the top of this, they needed some holes to fill at linebacker and that second level of the defense. I think that they're looking at Phillips as basically a linebacker, just in a safety body, similar to how they use Patrick Chung. So a money backer, a slot defender, special teams, cover some kicks, do that sort of thing. It's a good pickup. It's a sneaky Patriots type signing where he's not going to break the bank. It's not this huge free agent name, but he's just kind of a good veteran football player. I think the point that you brought up, that when you draft a guy and you ask him to play slot, you ask him to play in the box, you ask him to play deep, you ask him to play special teams, it's too many roles for a rookie, right? There's no way that a young player is going to be able to handle all of that responsibility. So they go with the veteran player that will be able to do all of that. And it presents an interesting competition, too, at that spot with Chung and Terrence Brooks, who were played pretty solid. Both of them did play pretty solid at times, at least last year. So they have three guys now that are pretty redundant, I would say, at that spot. So something is going to have to give there a little bit.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see that with a lot of these picks as far as, like, guys that aren't going to be maybe a fan's first choice because there's a little more unknown, but, you know, can, you know, for the money that they're spending is good value, and I think that's what they got here.
Absolutely. Another kind of good value pickup that I thought they had was Damir Bird, the speedster wide receiver who was with the Arizona Cardinals last year. This guy is a track superstar from his high school and college days. He ran a 4.28 40-yard dash at his pro day a few years ago. So this is an absolute burner. Again, not a guy that we know of very well, definitely an under-the-radar type signing. But if you look at them losing Philip Dorsett, I think that there's a chance, and Bird's going to have to earn it because his contract doesn't guarantee a roster spot by any means. But I think there's a chance that he could fill a Philip Dorsett-type role as a vertical threat in this offense.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, if you're not spending a ton on a receiver, you're sort of banking on one really good trait, you know, and this one's speed, and that's a pretty good one to have. And that's kind of a lot what, you know, Pats fans were a little bit frustrated with last year, was there wasn't any, like, guy quite like Bird or anybody with that sort of that explosive mentality. And, you know, he can sort of bring that, hopefully. You know, again, this is a signing where, you know, people, if you wanted Stephon Diggs, you're not going to get that, but you're going to get a guy who can run, a guy who can really run. And that's a valuable trait, you know, really with any position, but especially wide receiver. And I think, you know, he can find a role here. Again, it's all going to be how well he picks up the offense. But, you know, when you're a guy who's that fast, there's a couple routes that are always going to work. You know what I mean? And I'm sure they're going to find ways to use them.
It's going to be interesting to see how the offense changes now with Jared Stidham at quarterback.
Yes.
This is Brady. Does it get more vertical in style, right? Does it become more like something like the Patriots ran in 2017 when they had Brandon Cooks on the roster, right? A little more like that. I'm not saying Damir Bird's Brandon Cooks. Just saying that offense with Stidham having a little bit of a stronger arm, a little bit of a better deep ball potentially, maybe that's a route that they do go. The one thing that really impressed me with Bird was his route releases at the line of scrimmage. If you're going to be a fast guy, you can't get jammed up at the line of scrimmage. You got to be able to get off of press coverage and get into your route and get your strides going so you can use your best trait, your speed. Yeah. And he was pretty nifty at the line of scrimmage. He understood how to build moves off of each other. He made his releases look pretty similar so that he could break in and out of things and make things kind of masked to the defensive back that he was going up against. So good releases, good speed. I think that those are two things that the Patriots would like. And the routes that you mentioned, stuff like deep posts and over routes and stuff like that coming across the field, have always been elements of the Patriots offense. Everybody wants to talk about dink and dunk or horizontal attacks of the offense on the Patriots side of things. But trust me when I tell you, they run their fair share of deep overs, which is those deep crossing patterns over the cross of the deep part of the field. They run those all the time. It was Dorsett's job to run those last year. Now it will be someone like Bird's responsibility unless they upgrade that position again. Last name here quickly I wanted to mention was Bo Allen, defensive tackle. They brought him over from Tampa Bay. He's had a stop in Philadelphia also. Another Patriot signing of, you know, this is just a guy that you see directly the role of being kind of an A-gap nose tackle type player.
Yeah, I feel like one thing he does really well is stop the run, or his role in stopping the run, filling gaps, getting into the backfield. He's just, again, you know, this isn't, you know, Warren Sapp or anything. He's not going to be like a dominating guy in there, but he is somebody that can hold up his and do his job pretty well. And, you know, again, this is not somebody that is flashy or anything. His job is to really help other people stop the run. But he does a good job of it himself. And, you know, he'll be a, you know, just a sort of a quiet, good player there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a replacement there for Danny Shelton. I still think the Patriots need a little bit more on the defensive line. Hopefully we'll talk about some guys today that might be able to fill some of those needs. They're pretty thin up there on the defensive line, especially, I would say, at defensive end, but also at defensive tackle a little bit too. So I think Bo Allen's a nice little signing. You know, he's the type of guy that the Patriots are going to know exactly what they're going to do with him, and he's going to fit the role perfectly, and you're just going to be able to plug and play. He's probably a little bit worse of a player, I would say, but the idea is Mike Pennell last year. Didn't work out with Pennell, but that's the type of player that they're hoping that they're going to get with Bo Allen. So that type of guy, listen, all three of these signings, none of us here on Pat's All 22 or anywhere else are trying to sell you that these guys are going into the Patriots Hall of Fame 10 years from now. None of these guys are going to move the needle all that much for any of us. We're not all that excited or telling you that they're going to be superstars or anything like that. But these are classic Patriots signings of under-the-radar players that were cheap, that were underappreciated by the rest of the league, that are versatile, that can do different things, and have very specific traits that fit exactly what the Patriots are going to ask them to do. And that's what, at the end of the day, it's all about. The Patriots stack their free agency board, they stack their draft board by what role is this guy going to play for us? Is he going to be a Mike linebacker? Is he going to be a first and second down back? Is he going to be a box safety? Is he going to be a deep safety? You know, you have to have those roles defined, and I think these three guys have defined roles. Let's talk about some of these guys in the draft, though, because this is what gets us really excited. And we're going to talk about the edge class today. Definitely a position of need for the Patriots. They saw Kyle Van Noy leave in free agency. It was a big part of that edge last year. Jamie Collins to a lesser degree, but still played on the line of scrimmage a decent amount of snaps. So they lost a ton of snaps at the edge position. They obviously have Chase Winovich. They have John Simon. They have guys in place, but I think that they're going to be interested in some of these dudes in the edge class as well. So let's start, and also want to preface this. We're not going to talk about Chase Young. We know he's going to be off the board long before the Patriots are on the clock at 23. So we're going to talk about guys that are in the Patriots range, either in the first round or maybe on day two in the draft as well. But I want to start with a first round talent, surefire first round talent. It's your guy, Clavian. Just Chaisson. I am going to get that name right one of the times. Chaisson, absolutely just a high motor, high character, everything that you look for in a football player. He just doesn't have that gaudy production that you would love for a first round pick.
Right. And I think what some context for that is, he got injured, a season ending injury. I forget, it was either his knee or his ankle or something like that. His sophomore year.
2018 ACL, yeah.
Yeah, ACL, right. So I think that affected his production a little bit. Now, his production got better and better towards the end of this past year. He's athletically, he's everything you want. He can run, he can use power. He's a very athletic dude. But again, like going back to the production, it just wasn't there for most of his career, in just in terms of sack numbers and stuff like that. But they asked him to do a lot more than just rush the passer at LSU. You know, they did ask him to drop into coverage. You know, he's a versatile guy. He's really athletic, like I said. And I think, you know, the character thing matters, especially if you're the Patriots looking at a guy here. He wore the number 18, which at LSU it's like a captain like number. It was first worn by Jacob Hester, or not first worn, but that's who they started modeled it after. And you know, he's a guy that's going to get the most out of himself. I don't know if, you know, people probably remember Danielle Hunter for the Vikings. He was also from LSU and had sort of pedestrian sack numbers until he got to Minnesota, and that really jumped up. So, you know, that's kind of what I think the projection is for Chaisson in terms of like production. Like, I think he could really explode in the NFL. He's just such a good athlete, and he's such a good football player that I think like it would surprise me if he had like sort of low sack numbers again in the NFL.
Danielle Hunter is going to be the name you're going to hear a lot with him, not necessarily play style wise, but just in terms of career arc and hopefully getting that production out of him once he gets to the NFL. When you turn on the tape with Chazon, though, the first thing that you see is that first step explosiveness. I mean, he comes out of his stance like a bat out of hell, you know, and he's going to turn the corner on a lot of tackles in the NFL like he did in college. He's one of those guys, too, that's more disruptive than the numbers give him credit for. He lived in the backfield in the games that I watched. You know, he's constantly around the ball, constantly around the quarterback. He just always wasn't finishing with the sack. So if you look at things like pressure rate or PFF's total quarterback hurries and pressures and quarterback hits and stuff like that, I'm sure those numbers are a lot better than his overall sack number is, because he's just a guy that was always wreaking havoc, and he has a great motor. You know, when I first saw him and I first started watching him, I thought that maybe he was going to be a guy that runs hot and cold, but he doesn't. He is 110% effort all the time, whether he's rushing the passer, dropping into coverage, or defending the run. He's a super versatile player. He can do all three of those things pretty well, and he's got the athleticism certainly to drop into coverage. There's a couple of plays where he's like 30 yards down the field, and he's got running backs on wheel routes and stuff like that, and he's perfectly fine and perfectly comfortable taking on those responsibilities. So I think that in terms of Knox, if you're looking for anything, the production is one. We've obviously talked about that a lot as well, but I would say the one thing that I noticed with him is just a little bit of development needed in sort of like developing a pass rush plan and having counters to his first step. You know, he's going to be able to beat guys cleanly with that first step and be able to turn the corner pretty easily with just a speed rush, but he's got to develop the other moves along with that speed rush in order to say, okay, when I'm stopped on my initial rush move, what am I going to go to now? We talk about that all the time, and we're going to probably talk about that a lot in this episode with different guys. And that would be my only kind of thing that Chazon will need to work on at the next level to take his game to that peak that he can get to. But in terms of athletic ability, explosiveness, all around football IQ and versatility, he is a first round surefire top 20 talent in this draft.
Yeah. And I agree that a lot of times he would try to get around the edge. And if he doesn't circle around you and beat his guy, he's sort of going off into the into the field. And so, yeah, again, like, look, there's a great, you know, great piece of clay to mold here with him. You know, there's so many pieces that you really like. And again, like, he's just such an athletic dude, really strong. It's almost like he could be. He plays better in space than most guys who have his skill set. You know, and so he's somebody that is pretty versatile and can do a lot of things well. But like you said, developing that secondary pass move, pass rush move, and all that would serve him well.
I want to stick with sort of these outside linebacker guys, and then we'll get to some of the guys that are going to put their hands in the ground and be more like defensive ends. The next guy I want to go to is Zach Bond from Wisconsin, who I think every Patriots fan should really know very well, because this is a hybrid outside linebacker, off-the-ball linebacker prospect. He's Kyle Van Noy-esque, right? He can do a little bit of everything. He can play on the line of scrimmage. He can play inside linebacker. He's got a great football IQ. He has enough kind of first-step explosiveness and lateral agility to be a really good pass rusher. And you watch his pass rush reps, and you start to build on it, and you're like, wow, this guy's got a really good arsenal of moves and good hand fighting and good hand usage as well. So he's, I think, at his best as a pass rusher and on the line of scrimmage rushing from an outside linebacker spot, like a two-point stance. But I think that he can play inside backer too if you want him to also. So like I said, a lot like KVN.
Yeah, the thing I like about him is how quickly he diagnoses what's happening out there. And, you know, guys, you know, especially if he's playing inside linebacker, that's perfect. But I like his zone drops and everything like that. I thought, I forget which game it was, but he had a pick six.
Yes.
It was perfect, where he sort of just dropped into the zone, sort of found out, followed the eyes of the quarterback and took it back. He's a good, I mean, he's a pretty good ball hawk. Like, when he gets there, he can force fumbles. He's a good pass rusher. I think he's a lot better than what I expected when I sat down to watch him. I think he's, you know, probably what, a second round, third round guy. But I think he'd be a steal there. I think out of all the guys we watched, this is one of those guys who had one of the most well-rounded skill sets.
Yeah, so actually he's getting projected now as early as the late first round because of that well-rounded skill set. I think the biggest concern that I have with him, I told you about the back-to-back foot injuries. That's going to be something that teams are going to have to monitor and certainly get their hands on him in terms of physicals, if we can have physicals. But he broke his foot in 2017 and then again in 2018 and back-to-back, both the same foot, the left foot. So that's a little bit of a concern. But I think the biggest thing is in terms of, you know, not to start with the negatives, but he kind of does everything well, but I'm not sure if he does one thing really well, if that makes sense. We talk about this all the time. Every single year we talk about this type of prospect, right? The guy that can just do a little bit of everything. He's a Swiss Army knife, but what's his dominant trait? What's the one trait that he's going to be able to hold his hat on no matter what? And I don't know if Bond has that, but I also don't know if Bill Belichick needs his defensive players to have that type of skill set. Because if you look at a guy like a Kyle Van Noy, for example, what's Kyle Van Noy's dominant trait? I'm not really sure he has one, but he's just a super versatile, smart, instinctive football player that gets the position just like Bond does. But the one thing I will say is when you, like I said, when you start to really watch his pass rush reps, his hand usage and the repertoire of moves that he has as a pass rusher are really impressive. You know, he can do a couple of different things. He has that little crossover move where he jumps inside. He's got a little bit of an arm over. He's got a rip and dip and a speed rush around the edge. And he's got a decent first step for a guy that's not super twitchy and super long. He can get around the corner pretty easily. So I think that there are some traits there as a pass rusher where he could have some big seasons and big production if he plays a Van Noy type role where he's on the line of scrimmage 90% of the time or something like that. But I do think a lot of teams, given his size, he's about 6'2", 240, size and his IQ and the way he follows the ball and he can pick up schemes and diagnose plays extremely quickly. Those skills all kind of represent inside linebacker, not necessarily an on-the-line guy. So do a little bit of both. And certain teams, they're not going to want to draft him that high because he doesn't have that dominant trait. But I don't think Bill Belichick will look at it that way.
Right. And he's got enough skill to do a lot of things pretty well, like you said. I think, you know, it would be a surprise to me if, you know, if he fell down too far. I mean, I think one of the things I like is he figures things out right away, you know, like he gets on these snaps and he figures out, well, all right, now I got to set the edge. Now I got to keep going to rush the passer. He's a smart guy. He's got good hands. He's pretty strong. And, you know, I think he's a pretty good athlete. So I'm curious to see what happens with him. I'm really curious to see where he goes because you could obviously look at him and say, like you said, there's not that one dominant trait. He's not, you know, putting up dominant sack numbers and stuff like that. So people could just sort of, you know, float by him. But I think when you have a guy who can do so many different things well, it really fits for what the Patriots are looking for. And so I think, you know, he could be a good pick for them. And, you know, he's just, you know, so versatile and so strong at so many different things. I think he's, you know, I'd like to see the Patriots pick a guy like him.
Yeah, full disclosure, I actually picked him at 40th overall for the Patriots in my last mock draft. I made a little trade down, and then I went and got Bond in the second round, which I think is the comfortable place for him. I think he's a top 50 player in this class, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's a top 32 player in this class. Right. So you get him in the early second round, I think is comfortable. The thing you said about his football IQ, though, is so on point because you watch him play, and he sniffs out what the play call is based on off of alignments, based off of the way the tackle sets against him, based off of he reads pulling guards and different types of footwork by offensive linemen to sniff out running plays. And you just watch him play and he's just always gravitating towards the ball instantly when the ball is snapped. And he's always just kind of got that sort of anticipation to be able to jump where he's supposed to go and things of that nature. And I think that that's also what makes him so comfortable dropping in coverage. Because this is a guy that when you watch him, you wouldn't expect him to be a guy that can zone drop as easily as he does. But he certainly can do it. He can drop from the edge, from the line of scrimmage, and drop all the way into like a curl flat zone, you know, 10 yards off the ball. And he's perfectly fine making that adjustment and going that direction. So I think that that's the most impressive thing about him is his versatility. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots are obviously going to covet guys like that. All right, let's move on to some of these guys that are going to be more like defensive ends and put the hand in the ground and rush the passer. And I want to start with AJ Epenesa from Iowa. So Epenesa's got an interesting story. If he, based off of his 2018 tape, he would have been a first-round pick, top 10, maybe the best edge rusher in this class. If you just watch him at Iowa, as I think it was his sophomore year, might have been his junior year. But then he comes back and still has a solid season. It's not like he had a terrible season, but some of those warts started to show up a little bit. And then he goes to the combine and he bombs it. I mean, he had an awful combine workout, ran over 5 flat in the 40-yard dash, terrible 3-cone, you know, just not a very athletic guy. And I think that when you watch the tape, you see some of that stiffness out there. But with that being said, he is an absolute technician. He's a guy that knows how to play football. He might not be a guy that looks the best in the underwear Olympics, but when you put the pads on and you start hitting people and you start using your hands and shedding blocks and beating tackles and just winning one-on-one combat, he's not necessarily going to beat you to a spot, but he's going to beat you after initial contact. That's the type of guy AJ Epenesa is.
Yeah, I think one of the better moves in this class for sort of any edge rusher is when he swats guy's hands away. That, like, if you try to get your hands on him, he swats you with his two hands like that. It's awesome for him. That said, I did see him sort of get caught and have trouble disengaging a couple times. It seemed like some tackles did pretty good jobs on him sometimes. But then the thing is, it seemed like when I was watching his film, even if he wasn't having like a dominant game, if he was having a somewhat quiet game, he'd have at least one or two snaps where he got to the quarterback or forced a fumble or, you know, made a tackle for loss. You know, he was always able to find a way to impact the game somehow. And really, like, we've talked about him a little bit before, I guess, too, is, yeah, it seems like, you know, strength-wise, he's as strong as any of these guys, you know, like his pure strength is really good. And so he's fun to watch when it comes to that, you know, just sort of overpowering guys that get their hands on him. And, you know, he can be a pretty fun guy to watch. And, you know, I think he's, like I said, he doesn't always dominate every game that I looked at, but he found a way to impact it one way or another. With a big play here or there.
There seems to always be one of these guys in every draft, like a Zach Allen last year, maybe. Now you got a guy like Epenesa. They're not explosive. They're just not great athletes, but they just really know how to play their position and play the game. And one thing that I really like about Epenesa, too, is because I think that he projects really well as a 3-4 defensive end because he's got that power and that ability to hold up against the run. But then on third down or passing situations, I think he's going to make a lot of hay kicking inside and rushing on guards and centers, because that's where his athleticism isn't going to be as much of a knock, because those guys are slower footed on the inside than tackles. So you put him up against a guy that's not as good of an athlete, and I think that all of a sudden he becomes a much better athlete compared to those inside guys. So I think that he's got that type of versatility to rush on guards and centers, also rush on tackles. And then it's the pass rush moves. You mentioned the two-hand swipe. He's also got that snatch move where he'll grab the tackle right in the chest plate and then pull him towards him and then kind of throw him to the side and go right around him. He did that a bunch of times on some of the games that I watched and is really good at that. His punch power is just ridiculous. He'll reset the line of scrimmage. You're not going to be able to run at this guy. If he's the play side defensive end, you want to go the other direction. He's going to be able to push you back. So he's a Patriot type player to me. He gets a lot of Trey Flowers comparisons as a guy that's, I think he's a little bit longer and maybe a little bit heavier than Trey Flowers is. But in terms of just not being the best athlete, but being a really versatile technician, that reminds me a lot of Epenenza in that respect too. So just another one of those Patriot players where I think in their system, you could put Epenenza in there day one as a starter, and he probably doesn't have to leave the field for them.
Right. Yeah. And again, sometimes, you know, I think sometimes the type of strength that Epenenza shows, I think translates pretty well, you know, because a lot of it has to do with, you know, the technique of the different pass rush moves he's making. You know, it's good functional strength. And I think that could translate pretty well. Like, again, like there were some games where I felt like he wasn't doing much at all for a while, and then he'd come in and do something great. So again, this is a really strong player who, you know, who has like the moves to, you know, to do well with what he did in college. So yeah, I think he's a pretty good player. And, you know, he's not, I mean, he's sort of a different type of player than the players we've been talking about before, guys who will be able to, I mean, I saw him drop back in coverage at Iowa, but you know, you don't want him doing that. But that's probably not going to be his role in the NFL.
Not to knock all these college coaches, but sometimes you watch some of the things that they ask these guys to do, and you're like, this does not fit this guy at all. If you ask him to play in space at all, you're asking him to do something that he shouldn't be doing. I think that's where I'm confident with a team like the Patriots with Belichick, is that Belichick is never going to ask him to rush from a two-point stance. He's never going to ask him to drop into coverage all that much. He's going to tell him to put his hand in the ground, line up between the tackles, and go hit somebody, right? Yeah. And that's going to be a skill, and that's going to be a successful kind of, you know, career arc for Epenenza if he were to end up with the Patriots. Okay, the next guy I want to talk about is a guy that I'm super excited about. I've already texted you about him. Yeah. Yadier Gross-Matos from Penn State. Certainly a guy that I knew about, but once I finally got a chance to turn on his tape today, my God, am I in love with this guy, Adam. So you're going to have to bring me down from the heavens a little bit. Explosiveness, length, versatility, punch power. I mean, he's got all those things in his toolbox. I understand there's going to be flaws, so give them to me. Just tell me what they are.
Is this a defensive lineman's version of Justin Jefferson now?
Exactly. I have a guy at every position I fall in love with every year, and Gross-Matos is my defensive end.
No, I like him too. I mean, I don't think I like him as much as you do, but, the thing that came to my mind, and I actually texted you this, obviously, was when we were talking about him, I say slippery, and one of the meanings of that is, you know, you can't get your hands on him. Like it was interesting watching this film because even when he wasn't involved in the play, he wasn't getting like a solid block on him. Like he's able to sort of slip in and out of blocks in a really, you know, interesting way where you're not blocking him. And so he ends up making a lot of good plays because he sort of, again, slips right through the block of a really good tackle. And he did against good competition that I saw. I mean, he was making plays against Ohio State. You know, he's a good player. I'm surprised he's not more highly thought of because he's a good player. And if you have that skill, if you have that skill translated to the NFL of, you know, having just being difficult to get your hands on, you'll do pretty well.
I think that the difficulty to get his hands on him is that lateral quickness and the length, because he can get his hands out in front of himself so far that getting into his body is really difficult to do if you don't get there first. So he has some inconsistent punches and some inconsistent hand usage, but when his hands are on, like in that Ohio State game, which is probably his best tape of 2019, doing it against Ohio State's a pretty good thing to do if you're going into the draft. And when you watch that tape, it was the length and the quickness that really gave the Ohio State tackles a lot of problems. And they just couldn't seem to get him squared up and get him blocked. And that's just, you watch him too. and you watch how he can rush on tackles. He can stand up and rush. He can go inside and rush on guards and centers. He can do all those types of different things. He's extremely explosive. He's got a great first step and a great kind of just initial quickness out of his stance to get on guys. You can use him on stunts and twists and different types of games like that as well, and wrap him around and do all that kind of thing. He's a very calm player, I thought. You know, didn't seem to like get flustered at all, really, or when he got into the backfield, he really was able to square guys up and bring them down. The guy that he reminds me a lot of is Syracuse version of Chandler Jones. Same body type, same type of skill set as what the Patriots really liked in Chandler Jones coming out back in the draft out of Syracuse. I think that that's sort of the reason why he's not talked about more, is the same reason why, you know, Chandler fell all the way to the end of the first round for the Patriots first round, was because he is a little bit undersized for the position. And there's some proof on his tape of him getting pushed around a little bit, especially in 2018, not so much in 2019, but in 2018, there's some instances where he gets pushed around a little bit, plays a little bit too high, because those tall guys have a tough time sometimes of getting down in their stance. And he's one of those guys that has really consistently had to work on keeping his pad level down and being able to play with good leverage.
Yeah. He's not like a huge guy. So you can, you can push him around if you get him. It is, if you get your hands on him. Obviously, it's going to happen more in the NFL than it did in college. But look, I mean, I think he's a pretty, you know, if this guy slips to the third round, would you have any problems taking him? I wouldn't, you know, I mean.
I don't think he's going to slip that far. Although he does have a character concern that might help knock him down a little bit. He was put in a lawsuit recently for a hazing lawsuit coming out of Penn State. So I think that he's a good kid. I don't think that that's really going to be a huge knock for him for NFL teams, but it's certainly something to monitor that teams will keep an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that could knock him down. I'm not sure where he's projected to go, but again, like, you know, I think the guys we've profiled are pretty good players, and, you know, I think he's got that. He hits me as a guy who could be a really effective pass rusher in the NFL. You know, maybe not right away, but somebody who's just got the skill set where, you know, if you're going to try to, you know, block him and sort of get in front of him, he's just going to sort of slip around you or slip beside you. He's a tough guy to block, period.
He had 17.5 sacks and 31.5 tackles for loss in the last two seasons at Penn State. So he's certainly a guy that's produced a lot on the field as well. And when I watch his run defense, it's better than I expected. He's not a dominant run defender, but he doesn't get pushed around as much as I thought he would. He can set the edge, and he uses that length and that punching power to reset the line of scrimmage and be able to hold a hard edge. But the one thing I was really impressed with is how he used his quickness and his burst off the line to plug up B gaps in short yardage. So they put him right in the B gap on, like, you know, a third and one or a fourth and goal line type situation. And he was able to shoot through double teams and get in the backfield and make some plays as a B gap player, which is not what you would expect at 260, 265. So I think he's a really impressive player. And you look at these guys that we're talking about, and just in terms of functional ability, right? You know, the size, the speed, the athleticism, the do-it-all type of stuff that you need to have from an athletic profile standpoint, he's just checks a lot more of those boxes than a guy like, let's say, an Epenenza does, or even a Zach Bond or someone like that, where he does have that length and that size and that athleticism to get all those things done. So, again, a Chandler Jones-type prospect. I don't know if the Patriots want to go down that road again with a Chandler Jones-type player, but it's a guy that they have drafted before, you know? So I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if that's the guy. All right, the last one we wanted to talk about here is Julian Aquara from Notre Dame, who is the brother of Romeo Aquara, who plays on the Lions. Similar player to Ghost Matos, who we just talked about, long, athletic, twitchy, that kind of guy.
Yeah, I guess not as eye on him. He seemed to get overpowered a few times when I watched him. He's not
projected to go as high. So
yeah,
not the only one.
He's an okay player. I mean, like, he's a decent athlete, But again, I felt like against some tackles where he locked on, he just couldn't really have that secondary move on them and get in the backfield. But, you know, I didn't see him pop as much as some of the other guys, I guess.
If you watch his his Michigan tape, that's a tape that you're going to see him get pushed around a lot. He was really bullied by Michigan's offensive line. He plays a little bit too upright in the run game. He gets a little bit too tall, and that's always going to end up – low man always wins. You can do as many squats as you want. You can do as many bench presses as you want. The low man is always going to win, and he's a guy that needs to get lower. But at the same time, he's got that NFL quality of length, explosiveness, range and pursuit speed, ability to drop into coverage. His hands are pretty good. His production was pretty good. A lot of tackles for loss in his stat sheet as well. And I think the one thing that I like about him the most is his versatility as well, and his ability to drop and cover and also rush the passer a little bit from off the edge. So just a guy that I think that they could be interested in. 6'4", 250 pounds is a little bit more in their mold than, let's say, a guy like a Zach Bond, who might be a little bit undersized for the job that they want him to do. So I think that both Aquaras are very similar players. Both of them kind of need to come into their own, right? They have all those athletic traits, all the ability in the world, but there's just some like kind of development things that there is holding them back. Things like rush counters or guessing before the ball is snapped as to where the tackle is going to strike him and getting pushed around a little bit in the running game. If he can fix all of those things, I know that not all of them, but make them all a little bit better, improve on them a little bit, then I think that he's got all the functional ability to be a good pass rusher and a good edge rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he can be effective like in spots. And it is interesting to see him, you know, like drop into coverage and do those sort of things too. And he's a good enough athlete to be effective. I just didn't see it as much on a consistent basis, but yeah, he's got enough natural ability to be, you know, to be an asset there.
Absolutely. All right. I think that about does it. Those are all guys that I would say are going in the first two rounds roughly of the draft. We'll try to get to some sleepers as we get closer to the draft. But I think that the five guys we talked about today are all guys that the Patriots could position themselves with that first pick, whether it's as early as 23 on a guy like a Chazon or maybe a Zach Bond or Epenenza, or maybe get a little bit of a trade down action and try to get into the later part of the top 50 to land one of those players. All right, Adam, is there
I do have one sleeper.
Oh, I love it.
I wanted to get in. And that would be Northwestern's Joe Gaziano, also okay. Situate, I think, and Zavarian Brothers.
There we go. That's now it's starting to make more sense.
Yeah. but again, like now, this is a guy who production wise was one of the best edge guys. Now he's more of a he's not like a tremendous like run and jump athlete like you get with some of these guys, but Gaziano is a like a big, strong guy who gets to the backfield. Another guy whose, you know, sack numbers were pretty outstanding at Northwestern. Really strong. You know, just like this was true in high school and it sort of stayed true in college. Is like, he was really hard to keep your hands on. He's just a really strong guy. A guy who could swat away your hands very well. You know, like an Epenenza light, you know, but Joe's, you know, production was really good. And so again, like I see him sort of in the NFL being sort of the same thing, as you were suggesting with Epenenza. But you know, he's a good player. He's somebody who's very, very intelligent. And you know, knows how to play the game and, you know, a guy that, you know, later in the draft, I don't know when he's going to go. But I see him being a really just solid NFL player.
I like it. I'll give one sleeper too. He's not so much of a sleeper anymore after the Senior Bowl, but Bradley Ainai out of Utah is a guy that can really play, and he's like I said, he's a little bit more on everybody's radar now since he had a really good week down in Mobile. But he's the type of guy that really can bend the edge. And we haven't talked about a lot of flexible guys yet. I mean, Chaisson's really flexible because he's good at everything. Yeah. But not, you know, guys like Bond and Epenenza are not the type of guys that have that hip fluidity or that hip mobility to really turn the corner and run the arc. And Adnai is one of those guys that can do that. I love his hands too. He's always first to the punch, which is what you want to see out of those guys. And he can really kind of just like hold his own on the edge and set a hard edge with it. But what it was at the Senior Bowl was definitely his ability to bend and really turn that a tight, tight corner. If you can do that consistently, you're a really tough guy to block at any level of football. So go check those two guys out too. Some deep sleepers for you as well. Adam, is there anything that you want to tease before we wrap it up?
No, I'm sort of trying to figure out what to write with everything gone right now. So, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hear you. The draft is on schedule right now. So we got that to talk about, at least on the podcast. I, for one, don't want to go into a whole rant about this, but I cannot believe that they're going to go on with the draft as planned at the end of April, the way that things are standing right now. So it sounds to me like it's going to be some sort of like interactive online experience where they still are going to have some sort of a show with a desk, and Mel Kiper or Daniel Jeremiah or whatever network you watch it on is going to break down every single pick, and they're going to try to Skype or FaceTime or however they're going to do it, some of the prospects in to have interviews and talk to the guys that get drafted and things like that. It's a big bummer, I think, because the draft is one of those nights for the prospects where they get to be the stars. Right. They get to walk the red carpet. They get to wear the clothes. They get to go up on stage and shake Roger Goodell's hand. And that's sort of like the dream come true for those guys there. And it's presented to them like that. And they're not going to be able to experience that. So I think that that's a really big bummer and something that the NFL should consider strongly on top of just being woke to what's going on in the world right now, and maybe not, you know, celebrating draft prospects might not be the best thing to do in the middle of a pandemic. But on top of that, like, let these kids have their moment, because like when Joe Burrow gets drafted number one overall, he's not going to have his Kyler Murray moment. You know, he's not going to have his moment up there and with Roger Goodell. So I think that's something that the NFL should really consider. Pushing back the draft just makes all the sense in the world. It buys everybody time. You know, it really does buy everybody a lot more time to figure this whole thing out. So
and meet these guys in person, which they can't do right now.
Right. There's no top 30 visits. There's no physicals right now. There's no checkups. So a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, you need to count on him telling you that he's healthy. That's all you can do at this point. He had the checkup at the combine. And other than that, that's as far as we're going to get with Tua. Now it's just everything from his agent and himself.
So teams are going to be so scared off by Tua's medicals that they'll slip down to the Patriots and they'll snatch him up.
Maybe. One can only hope. One can only, no offense, Jared Stidham. We still love you, but one can only hope. But that's really, from a team perspective, obviously, the scouting perspective, not having top 30 visits, not being able to go and meet up with these guys and be able to get them on the whiteboard or get them in a physical or get them out on the field and put them through drills. No pro days too is so massive. Like, so many guys that just come out of the woodwork at their pro days. It happens every single year where guys like jump multiple rounds in the draft because of how they perform at their pro days. There's no pro days. A bunch of guys sat out the entire combine athletic process, the 40, all that kind of stuff, waiting for their pro days. So now those guys are going to have no times, right? Because they're going to have no pro days to lean back on. So it's just kind of a mess, I think, to do it into the end of April. But regardless of what I think or what Adam thinks, we're going to keep chugging along here on the podcast, and we'll have a preview every single week of a different position group. We might need to combine some position groups and do multiple in 1 week, but we can figure that out for you guys. And so we did the edge. We've done tight ends. We'll probably continue forward with something else next week, I would hope, on the line of scrimmage. Maybe we'll go over and flip over to the offensive line, but we'll see. On clnsmedia.com, make sure to go check out my Jared Stidham film review. I did my best to keep it in context with the fact that it was only preseason tape that we have to work off of. But still, you can still look at traits. You can still look at things that he does well and doesn't do well. So I tried to outline exactly a scouting report of exactly what the Patriots have in Stidham and why they are excited about him in the building. So go ahead and check that out. And we'll be back on the pod next week with another position preview. But until then, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.